Happy Father's Day again to all you dads, to all you who have dads, to all of you who have seen your dads pass on. Let us remember that they were a blessing, and we are blessed to have known them as we have, and today is a good day to remember how awesome they are. We've been talking for the last few weeks about healthy relationships in a dysfunctional world. And that leads us to today's discussion or learning of what God's Word would show us, what the Scriptures would teach us about the relationship of what it is to be a father, to have a father. And there is no more special relationship, no more needed relationship, no more critical relationship outside of the relationship with God and mom than there is with the relationship between someone and their father, or a father and his children. So we want to take a look at that today and be reminded, dads, that the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, and that all Scripture is God-breathed and suitable for teaching and reproof, and that sort of thing. And we want to challenge fathers to step up and be all that we can be. We want to remember, if you're not a dad, if you're a mom or a wife or a sibling or whatever the case may be, to use some of this information to encourage dads and that sort of thing. And there's good information in here for everyone. With that said, let's turn to, in our Bibles, to the book of 1 John. That's near the end of your New Testament. 1 John chapter 3 is where I'm going to read a couple of verses from this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 is our passage today, giving you just a chance to get there. God's Word says this: "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But what we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This passage starts with the fact that He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." All right? Jesus called God Father because He was and is and forevermore will be. Let me explain to you the implications of that. Listen to me. On this Father's Day, God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Master and King of the throne of all creation, God Almighty allows Himself to be referred to as a Father. All right? He is called Father. If that's the case, then it's pretty easy to understand, listen to me, that God is serious about fatherhood. Amen? All right, if God will allow Himself to be given the role, to be given the title, to be given the name of Father, then evidently He is pretty serious about fatherhood. Therefore, to Him, the term fatherhood must be worthy of great adoration. The term fatherhood must be worthy of great esteem. The term father must be of high importance, for we know that God is worthy of great esteem and adoration and importance. He allows Himself to be synonymous with the term father, so father is a big deal. Men, it's a privilege and an honor and a blessing to be a dad. Amen? Absolutely. It's also about the hardest job that a man can ever have. It can be really, really difficult. It's been said it's a great joy, but no test of love or commitment, to take your son to a ball game. But you really prove your credentials as a good dad when you're willing to take your daughter shopping more than once. All right? It can be difficult sometimes. How can we as dads, how can we as men possibly measure up to a title that God Himself bears? How can we be a father like the Heavenly Father? How can we possibly do that? Well, it comes in steps, right? To do this, fathers must do exactly what God does. We must love, we must follow, and we must lead just like God does. We must love God. We must love our wife. We must love our children, all right? And in all those loves is stated the explicit biblical truth that love means that we sacrifice for them. We must love them. We must follow Christ. Listen to me, not just in lip service, not just in church attendance, but I mean a diligent, daily chasing after Jesus Christ to try to be closer to Him, to know Him better, to do that. And we must lead. We must lead our families and we must lead our children. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe that God's presence and influence in everyday life is important? Do you believe that? Yeah, God's presence and influence in everyday life is extremely important. We need Him. That being said, all right, do you believe then that a father's presence and influence on his children in everyday life is important? Absolutely. If it's important for God to do, it's important for a dad to do. So a few things on how we go about doing that. The first thing we need to do is be present, okay? Be present. Be there on a daily basis. It's been said that being a great father, Reed Markham said this, being a great father is a lot like shaving. No matter how good a job you do on it today, you still need to do it again tomorrow. That's what being a dad is like. We need to be present on a daily basis. A few statistics that we're going to revisit. I shared some of these 6 years ago on a Father's Day message, but a few statistics that we need to be aware of to wake us up and to challenge us this morning. 24 million children, 34% of the children in this society, in this country today, live absent of their biological father. Over 20 million, 27%, live in single-parent homes. 33% of all births in the year 2000 were outside of wedlock. Now, as we see our society going in a direction that, can we all agree, is not really good, okay? Can we all agree on that, that it could be a lot better? We need to understand that there's a direct correlation between what's going on with fatherhood, what's going on with family, okay, and what we see in our society. About 4 million children live with an unmarried parent and that parent's cohabitating unmarried partner, right? About 40% of children in father-absent homes have not seen their father at all in the past year. 26% of absent fathers live in a different state. 50% of children living absent their father have never set foot in their own father's home. Children who live absent their biological fathers are on average at least 2 or 3 times more likely to be poor. And a lot of other statistics that follow on. All these things can be overcome with the role of the father being filled in by a loving and awesome mother, with the role of the father being filled in by church members and friends and other families, granddads, all that sort of thing. All these things can be overcome, but we begin to see as we look at the status of our society, as we look at this country where it is, the importance of being a good dad. That's the point we're trying to make this morning. Numerous studies have found that adult homosexual males tend to report having had less than loving and more rejecting fathers than their heterosexual peers. A study in 1976 was published and said they interviewed about 1,000 male homosexuals and 50 pairs of parents. The classic pattern was present in more than 90% of these cases, of the things that we're talking about. The author said in his experience he had never interviewed a single, not one, male homosexual who had a constructive, loving father. A son who has a loving father who respects him, he said, doesn't become a homosexual. He also concluded that there is a causal relationship between parental influence and this choice. As we see the rise of this choice, of this behavior, of this lifestyle, of the impact of this sin on our society, we need to understand that there are ties to how the family has operated during childhood. Focus on the Family said male homosexuality is a developmental problem that is almost always the result of problems in family relations, particularly between a father and a son. Girls, however, are not left out. This affects daughters as well. Without proper role model for what male love and affection should be, according to God's design, girls too turn to the only place they have known affection, and that is other girls. Molestation has been found to lead to homosexuality. Children of single-parent homes are more likely to use drugs, twice as likely to drop out of school, twice as likely to go to jail, and nearly four times as likely to require help for emotional or behavioral problems than children of two-parent homes. 49%, that's half, of children in single-mother homes live in poverty. Children of single parents have a 77% greater risk of being harmed by physical abuse, an 87% greater risk of being harmed by physical neglect, and an 80% greater risk of suffering serious injury or harm from abuse as opposed to children living with both parents. Children who grew up in single-parent homes are twice as likely to get divorced than those living in a single-parent home or in a two-parent home. All that is very daunting. All that is very scary. All that, though, is very, very real. And we need not put our head in the sand and hide from it. All this to just draw attention to how very critical the role of parent is. Amen? All right? And how particularly important the role of father is. It's needed. The first thing we got to know, dads, the first thing we got to know, men, the first thing we need to know, women, all right, and be reminded of is to know what our role is as father. To know what our role is in the family. Bill Cosby said, and it's pretty funny, but he said, "I'm not the boss of my house." He said, I don't know how I lost it. I don't know when I lost it. I don't really think I ever even had it." He said, "But I've seen the boss's job, and I don't want it." Okay, that's funnier than that. Are y'all awake? Note to self, learn how to tell a joke. We need to learn our role as father. Our role as father is to be the leader, to be the protector, to be the provider, all right, for our families. We have to lead the way in a godly life, all right? Not just go along with it, not just participate in a godly life, not just participate in a Christian life, but listen to me, L-E-A-D, lead it. Our role is to not be passive about parenting matters, certainly not the spiritual matters. Our role is to take a lead, not just allow our wife to take the lead in raising children, while we just continue to live a life that's not a lot different from one before we had a family. The role of the father is to, listen, to provide a picture of what the heavenly father looks like for our families. That's what our role is, all right? So that they'll know. Charles Buddington Keenan said, referring to his father, "He didn't tell me how to live. He lived, and he let me watch him do it." Children with involved, loving fathers are significantly more likely to do well in school, have healthy self-esteem, exhibit empathy and pro-social behavior, avoid high-risk behaviors such as drug use, truancy, and criminal activity compared to children with uninvolved fathers. Studies on parent-child relationships and child well-being show that father love is an important factor in predicting social, emotional, and cognitive development and functioning of children and young adults. All right? Dads, your number one priority in the family, your number one role is to provide a positive model of what God is by being that kind of father. A positive model of what God is like. It's been said that As the family goes, so goes the society. All right, you follow me on that? It has also been said that as the father goes, so goes the family. It's a lot of pressure, ain't it? Are y'all with me, Dad? I mean, this is a lot of pressure. Good grief. It makes me wonder. All this pressure and all this importance, and why in the world did God make me a father? You understand what I'm saying? It's too much. How can I possibly measure up? Let me tell you why God made you a dad. Listen very carefully. God made you a dad so that you could show your family what God is. And God made you a dad so that you can better understand Him as Father. And the better you understand Him, the better off you'll be and your family will be. That's why God made you a dad. So you could relate to Him and you could show them who He is. If you want to ensure a good life for your children, listen to me, the best way is not by just going out and making more money. We are by nature hunter-gatherers, all right? That's an anthropological fact. It's just the way we're wired. The women are nesting nurturers, all right? They protect the nest, and we go out and hunt stuff and kill it and bring it home, all right? We bring home the bacon. That's just the way we're designed. And our tendency, because that's the way we're designed, is to just work harder and earn more and bring home more and say, there, I'm doing my job. Okay, and it's good. Somebody's got to do it, and it's got to be prepared. But don't fall into the trap of thinking that's the only way, that making more money is what it's all about. Put Revelation 21:21 up there. Let me explain to you what making more money really amounts to. If we look at this thing from a heavenly perspective, if we look at it through God's eyes, if we see what the Scripture says about having more wealth and how that applies eternally, okay? Revelation 21:21 is talking about heaven. It says the 12 gates were 12 pearls, all right? You follow me? Gates made out of pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. Now, that's a whale of a pearl, you understand? That's an extremely valuable piece of material that would make a whole gate. It goes on to say, however, the great street in heaven of the city was of pure gold, all right? There's nothing in this world much more valuable than pure gold. This is so pure that it shines like glass, okay? Pure gold, that's wealth. But in heaven, it's what they're going to pave the roads with. That's how much eternal value all the money that we can make truly has. You follow me on that? When we get to heaven, it's all going to be the kind of stuff that you pave the streets with. It's not going to be what matters. So let's not fall into that trap. Essentially, dads, what we got to do is we got to imitate the fatherhood of God. Just simply imitate Him. Jesus called Him Father. Let's do that. That means we're always available. That means we're loving. It means we're forgiving. But most importantly, listen to me, what it means is we are passionate, and I mean really, really, really passionate about having a close, personal, loving, awesome relationship with our children. Not just, okay, about it, but I mean passionate. God showed us that He was so passionate about having a relationship, a close, bonded, linked relationship with me, that He sent Jesus to die on the cross so that I could have that relationship with Him. That's how passionate He was about being close to me. And that's what He wants from dads. Really daunting. But it's also not all that complicated. It's really important, but it comes with a great promise. You see, God's calling me to be this. God's calling you to be this. And it'll benefit the gospel. It'll benefit the church. It'll benefit the community. It'll benefit our society, the nation, everything. But It'll glorify everything. Everything will be so much better. It comes with the promise not only that it'll be good, but that He will give us the strength to do it. The same God who rose Jesus from the grave, the same God who overpowered, who overcame, who conquered death, will give me the power and the strength and the glory to overcome and conquer fatherhood. All I need to do is ask Him for it on a daily basis. Lord, help me have a strong bond with my children so that their lives will be what it should be. Secure the bond. Some dads are strong. Some dads are smart. Some dads are strict. Some dads have a big heart. Some dads are funny. Some dads assign chores. Some dads stay home. Some dads fight wars. Some dads watch sports. Some dads mow the lawn. Some dads are always there. Some dads are too soon gone. So honor your dad today, because this is God's command. Honor your father and your mother. And praise your heavenly Father, whose love will stand forever. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, first we want to thank You and praise You and honor You and worship You as being our Father, our Heavenly Father. Lord, thank You for allowing us to be children of God. Because as Your Word says, that's what we are. First and foremost, above all else, we're Your children because of how passionate You were about having a relationship with us. Lord, for each and every dad, each and every granddad, each and every father represented here today, I pray that You would give them a renewed conviction and understanding of just how serious their role is and how awesome the responsibility is, but also how great the reward is. Because if we'll do it according to Your design, we'll not only see the benefits in our children, but we will understand and know You better too. And that's a great gift. Lord, for those whose fathers have gone on, and today brings with it difficult memories. For those whose fathers are absent, today brings with it difficulties. I pray Your love on them. I pray that You'd give them a sense of peace and security, knowing that they are not outside of Your love, that You have received their father or You still love their father, and that You call upon spiritual forces in this church and in their community and in their mom and everywhere to fill in the gaps, because they too are within Your love. If there be any fathers among us here today, this morning, Lord, that don't understand what it is to have You in their life, to have Your loving help and assistance in being all that they can be because they haven't come to salvation through the forgiveness that only You can give, I pray that they would do that today so that they might leave this room the dad You created them to be and have the family that You will them to have. Lord, in all of it, we're going to praise Your holy name and give You thanks to our Heavenly Father. For it's in Christ's precious name as always that we pray. Amen.